So, Alex, are you seriously saying to me that you have decided to become a woman? Well, first of all, I'd rather you didn't call me Alex. I'd rather that's my like dead name. I'd rather you call me Drea, which is what I've decided I want to be called. And yes, I have. I've like thought about it quite a lot, and I've realized that I am actually a woman, and so I have decided that I'm going to go ahead with this. But you surely realize that it's unlikely that people would accept that you were a woman, that they would simply think that you were a transsexual. Well, there's a lot of evidence that people who are transsexuals can pass as their assigned sex, and so also I don't think that's true. And also, like you asked why I'm doing it. Basically, it's something that a lot of people that are not transsexual can't understand. So you as a transsexual, you as a non-transsexual, I mean, you can't begin to understand that. But Alex, I mean, you're very into philosophy. That's just kind of an appeal to what sort of you have some intuition or something. That's not logical. Well, no, I actually don't agree. I think it's very logical, and I've thought about this over many years. Hello, 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 and welcome to this edition of the Jolly Heretic. Now, today I would like to talk about the issue of transsexuality. I was alluding there's an old video of mine from many years ago where I talked about a friend from university by the name of Alex Waddle, or that was originally his name, and then he transitioned and he became Drea Waddle, and eventually Andrea Waddle, and he was a very intelligent and perceptive guy that he made this decision, which at the time was in 2002 was an extraordinary thing to do. So I want to look at a very interesting new paper on this matter, which basically indicates that changing your body to the sex that you desire to be doesn't seem to deal with any of the psychological issues that you have. Before I do that, could you do me a favor? Could you please, please, please subscribe? Could you subscribe on YouTube? Could you leave a like for the algorithm? Could you leave a comment and all that kind of thing? And could you subscribe on my Substack? That's jollyheretic.com, where I put all the most based science that I do on YouTube, in-person interviews, vlogs, blogs, films I make. And if you like what I do, you can support me for the cost of a pint of beer a month. Okay, back to the video. So, new paper has come out, a Finnish paper, actually. As you may know, I live in Finland. It's called Psychiatric Morbidity Among Adolescents and Young Adults Who Contacted Specialized Gender Identity Services in Finland, 1996 2019, a registered study. And it's been published in Acta Pediatrica, which is a very highly cited journal. So it does something that's really only possible in a small, homogeneous country with a small population like Finland, which is that it's able to just track every single person, and it's about 2,000, it's 2,083 people, every single person in the country that was referred for gender dysphoria across the entire period. And what it finds is really rather revealing. It was very good at controls, by the way. So for every single gender dysphoric person it tracked, it found four people that were born in the same year in the same municipality that were not referred to gender dysphoria clinics. So it was very, very, very good at controls. And what it found was this: essentially, there are higher psychiatric problems among those who come along to transgender clinics with gender dysphoria than controls. Overall, 45% of those who attended these clinics had seen a psychiatrist a couple of years earlier, before the date that they made the cutoff point at, for some kind of psychiatric problem, usually depression or anxiety. This was compared to 15% of controls. 15% of controls had been to a psychiatrist, had seen a doctor or seen a psychiatrist about depression or anxiety, usually, or some other mental condition. Now, after 2 years, so 2 years after having gender-affirming treatment in the case of the non-controls, or 2 years indeed after transitioning, the change was 61% of those who were gender dysphoric still needed to see a psychiatrist, compared to 14.6% of controls. So this implies that among controls, they are treated, they're probably treated for depression or whatever it happens to be, and it makes them slightly better. But among those who have gender dysphoria, they start living as women, or they even are reassigned medically as women or as men, as it may be, and their psychiatric problems are actually worse. So considerably worse. So this shows you that if you have gender dysphoria, the process of becoming physically or outwardly or whatever it happens to be the sex which you desire to be does not decrease your psychiatric problems, as is argued. It's often argued by proponents of transgenderism that, oh, these people will hurt themselves or whatever if you don't do what they want, if you don't give them what they want. This is not the case. If anything, it seems that their psychiatric problems get worse. Among controls, if we look at those that are moving, that are the men that are moving towards femaleness, 13.6% have seen a doctor, a psychiatrist, 2 years earlier for depression or whatever, and it's 11.1% among those it's 11.1% after 2 years, so they're getting better. Among the females, and that's who are the controls, 16.4% seen a psychiatrist 2 years earlier. It's 18.1% after 2 years, which implies they're not getting better, but perhaps it's just the process of aging or whatever in women that they become more mentally unstable. They are, after all, higher in social anxiety. Now, among trans men trans men who did not undergo gender reassignment, 53.1% as against 59.7% after 2 years. So the process is not making them psychologically better, it's making them psychologically worse. Among trans women who did not undergo gender reassignment, that's to say men that want to become women, 65% versus 67.2%. So the process of going through the counselling or whatever it is, living as a woman or whatever it is they go through, though they're not gender reassigned, is certainly not making them better. It's not improving their psychological state. Among the reassigned, among the women, so those that had surgery and whatever, 27.6% have psychiatric problems 2 years before, and 54.5% have psychiatric problems 2 years after. So that's a huge increase. That's a huge increase. It's almost as if, okay, correlation isn't causation, but it's almost as if having this done to themselves makes them worse, makes them psychologically worse. Among the trans women, 9.8% see a doctor in the previous 2 years, and 60.7% see a doctor about psychiatric problems 2 years later. So that's an absolutely enormous increase in psychological problems. It's almost as if the process, the fact of being reassigned your gender, increases psychological problems. I don't think that's the case. I think what's more likely is simply that there are underlying psychological problems which lead you to suffering from gender dysphoria. Various proposals are, for example, autism. And autism in men means that you take in a lot of information, and you take it in much more strongly. You're much more sensitive to your environment on average. You're hypersensitive. And so you make associations more strongly. And these include sexual associations. So you are more likely, therefore, to develop some kind of sexual fetish. And it's been argued, of course, that transsexuality, autogynephilic transsexuality, is a sexual fetish, whereby you are sexually aroused by the idea of yourself as a woman. And there's very interesting studies on this that demonstrate this to be the case. Means by which this is shown to be found is via narcissism. It's been found that those that are male to female transsexuals are strongly elevated in narcissism. So then you have the idea almost of being in love with yourself, And narcissism is often a reflection of mental instability. People that are neurotic, they feel negative feelings very strongly. They feel negative about themselves. And so because they feel negative about themselves, they have an unstable identity. And they can't say, oh, something's bad's happened to me. And, well, I'm me, but something's bad's happened to me. It's just something's bad's happened to me. I'm bad. And I'd better change the nature of me to the opposite of me. And you can see that in some cases, particularly if they also have that fetish, then this can lead to them completely changing their identity and deciding that they are, in fact, a woman and wanting to be accepted as a woman. But the underlying issue is very high neuroticism, very high negative feelings. And even if they then medically transition into being a woman, these negative feelings and this whole identity problems and everything else is not going to go away. If anything, it could be argued that they are making themselves into somebody that is going to be, to some extent, rejected by society and is going to have difficulties, or the whole thing about women's changing rooms and so on. And so it might make them even more unhappy. And if you look at the female to male transsexuals, the evidence is that these women are, there was a study on this by Michael Bailey, are elevated in borderline personality disorder. A significant component of this is feeling negative feelings incredibly strongly. And another significant component to it is identity disturbance and wondering who you are and all of that sort of thing. So again, this won't go away. If you do this to yourself, if you have medical interventions, that underlying psychology is intractable and it won't go away. So what this basically shows then, or what essentially seems to undermine, is the argument of proponents of gender affirming surgery. The idea that if you don't do this, then lots of young children are going to do something rather unfortunate to themselves. This is not the case. They have an underlying, it seems, an underlying psychology that is very, very high in neuroticism, in mental instability. And again, some studies have indicated that this certain kinds of personality disorders, such as borderline personality disorder or narcissism, are elevated among them. And this isn't going to go away because they alter their bodies to be in line with the gender that they purport to want to be, any more than the underlying psychology of an anorexic will go away if you just do as she says and allow her to be incredibly thin and dangerously thin. The psychology won't go, the body that she wants, the underlying psychology won't go away. So we're not curing these people. We're making it worse, if anything. And so this has very, very important implications. One thing that confused me about the paper is it seems to imply that the level of needing to go to a psychiatrist about depression or anxiety for reassigned people who are men that become women, so trans women, is lower than controls. 9.8% 2 years earlier go to a doctor versus 13.6% about mental health problems for controls. I do not know why this is the case. It's very interesting. I don't know if it's statistically significant difference. Maybe it's just chance. But even so, you would expect the mental health problems of the of those that are so strong in this that they reassign to be stronger than controls. And it's clearly not. And I wonder, in terms of going to a psychiatrist about something else, about depression or anxiety, and I wonder why that is the case. I don't know. I think about my friend who I was impersonated earlier, Alex stroke Dreyer, and thinking about it, although he had all kinds of physical problems, I don't think he talked about mental health problems at all. I don't think he ever said to me, and it's the kind of thing he'd tell me, that he was ever diagnosed with depression. So it's almost like they only go there about that one issue. It's very interesting. So I've written to the authors and asked about this, and hopefully I will get a reply. But I wonder why that's the case. But the key takeaway is that being transitioned, when it's autogynephilus or sudden onset gender dysphoria, and therefore a reflection of mental instability, is not going to help you in terms of your mental health. And that's worth, I think, seriously thinking about. I hope this has been of interest, and thank you very much, and goodbye.
Are you ready for the future of the West?